Featuring Lodge and Adirondack Styles, as well as rustic collections and showrooms at Lake Wampaw, back downtown Honesdale, Milford, PA.
This is Rosie Starr for Radio Catskill. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, Keith Hubbard has a Star Talk report that helps us recognize the constellation Leo in the evening sky. Sweetwater fishing guide Evan Padua has a Hooked on Fishing report on all the signs of spring in the Upper Delaware River. Wayne County community member Jane Bollinger introduces a tasteful podcast series called Today's Main Ingredient that highlights seasonal local farm-to-table food items and how to prepare them. All of that coming up on today's Farm and Country here on Radio Catskill. But first, news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. On the sixth day of fighting between Israel and Hamas, the Associated Press reports it evacuated its offices in Gaza after Israel warned it would target the building. The building was flattened a short time ago. There was no immediate explanation for why that building was targeted. NPR's Daniel Estrin reports from Jerusalem that casualties are mounting on both sides of the conflict.
Palestinian rocket fire from Gaza has been raining down on Israel. 2,000 rockets launched at Israel so far overall. A 5-year-old child was killed several days ago. When he was in his bomb shelter, a rocket hit it. It didn't save him. And air raid sirens in Israel continue. There have been sirens this morning in the Tel Aviv metropolitan area.
NPR's Daniel Estrin in Jerusalem. The British Army is being deployed to help administer vaccines in areas that have become hotspots for the rapidly spreading COVID strain first identified in India. Vicky Barker reports.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson said he still hopes to end most remaining lockdown restrictions on June 21st.
But I have to level with you that this new variant could pose a serious disruption to our progress.
British scientific advisors estimate the B.1.6.1.7.2 mutation is 50% more transmissible than the B.1.1.7 variant first spotted in the UK. And that makes it more than 200% more infectious than the original strains of COVID-19. So the UK is now shortening the time gap for fully vaccinated over 50s to get their booster shots from 12 weeks to 8 weeks. It's not clear if that will be enough. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
The investigation continues into the death 4 months ago of a South Carolina black man with mental health issues who was in police custody. South Carolina Public Radio's Victoria Hansen has more on Jamal Sutherland.
The family thought the 31-year-old was safe, but the mental health facility accused Jamal Sutherland of assault and called police. He was immediately taken to a detention center in Charleston. Body cam video shows officers repeatedly using stun guns and pepper spray after Sutherland refused to come to the door of his cell. At one point, he's handcuffed on the ground with a knee on his back. His mother, Amy, is horrified.
When you view these tapes, remember, he is a human being. He's not an animal. He was treated like one, but that's not who Jamal was.
No charges have been filed, and there's no official cause of death. The two officers involved are on paid administrative leave. For NPR News, I'm Victoria Hansen in Charleston.
This is NPR News.
Support comes from Van Gorder's Furniture, featuring Lodge and Adirondack styles as well as rustic collections, with showrooms at Lake Wallenpaupack, downtown Honesdale, and Milford, PA. Van Gorder's Furniture brings the outdoors inside. VanGorders.com.
This is Rosie Starr. Welcome back to Farm and Country. Coming up in our show today, Sweetwater fishing guide Evan Padua has a Hooked on Fishing report. Wayne County community member Jane Bollinger introduces a tasteful podcast series called Today's Main Ingredient. First up is Keith Hubbard with his Star Talk report. Thank you for joining us for this week's locally produced Farm and Country.
Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. Look in the western sky in the evenings this week to find the constellation Leo. One way to find Leo is to use the pointer stars of the Big Dipper. Following the pointer stars below the Big Dipper will lead to the Sickle in Leo. The Sickle is a group of six stars resembling a backwards question mark and is the identifying feature of Leo. In the constellation Leo, the Sickle is the mane of the lion, and a triangle of stars forms the hindquarters. At the bottom of the Sickle is the star Regulus. Regulus is a bright blue-white star that is 77 light-years away and is the brightest star in Leo. Leo is one of the earliest recognized constellations, and nearly every ancient civilization saw Leo as a lion. Mesopotamians, Syrians, Persians, Turks, Greeks, and Romans all recognized the stars of Leo as a lion. Only the Chinese saw Leo as something other than a lion. They saw Leo as a horse. Many galaxies lie within Leo, but they are all much too faint to be seen with the unaided eye. The brightest of these galaxies can be seen through a small telescope and appear as oval paths of light. A more powerful telescope will resolve the structure of the galaxies. This is a good week for observing Leo, as it will be high overhead in the evenings. Take advantage of this and look up to see the king of the jungle high in the sky. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard, reminding you to keep looking up.
For WJFF and Farm and Country, this is Evan Padua bringing you Hooked on Fishing. The spring is in full swing. May is here, and so are the mayflies. The dogwoods are blooming, and the shad are here in schools. The walleye season is open, and they are biting. The spring rains have the rivers and creeks of our Upper Delaware Valley at near capacity, but most are running clear and fishing well. For the fly fishermen and women out there, your month is here. All May, you will witness extensive mayfly hatches in the Delaware River system and surrounding waters. This is a great time to hit the water, observe the small sailboat-looking mayflies, match the hatch with a fly pattern from your fly box, or one if you tied it, find a rising fish, and catch them. I know it isn't that easy, but remember, a fishing outing is not always about the fish we catch. On our Upper Delaware River, there are many wildlife sightings. This year, I have already spotted red fox, mink, muskrats, beavers, black bears, and over 30 species of birds in just one day I saw that. And all of these are above the water. Nature along our valley is great to observe and see in its natural element. Next time you go to the river, don't forget your binoculars, your polarized sunglasses, and a camera. You never know what you might see. Most of the reservoirs in the Delaware system are at capacity. This means they are likely spilling water over the top of the reservoir dam or increasing the water releases to prevent spilling. This will likely lead to higher water conditions for the remainder of May on any tailwater river stretch. That means that it is downstream of a dam. High water can be dangerous and cold. Be sure to wear the proper equipment when boating or fishing. Wader belts shall always be securely fastened around your waist when wade fishing. This way, if you do unfortunately fall over in the water, your belt will prevent your waders from filling up with water. Waders are a very good piece of equipment to stay warm and dry while spring fishing. I wish everyone out there a happy spring and tight lines while out on their fishing outings. For WJFF, Farm and Country, and Hooked on Fishing, this has been Evan Padua, casting off.
For WJFF Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. And by the sounds of it in the background, we're Black and Brass Roasters. But I'm here to talk with Jane Bollinger from a local organization, Seeds of Northeastern Pennsylvania. Jane has some exciting news about today's main ingredient, and she's going to tell us about that. Jane, say hello to our audience.
Hello, WJFF.
What is today's main ingredient?
Today's main ingredient is a 15-minute podcast that will launch in the middle of May. We'll do one a week. And the subtitle of the show is The Main Ingredient, Bringing Farm Food to Your Table. And I think that tells your audience what this is about. It's an interview-based format. And first, we'll talk to a farmer about how that week's main ingredient grows. We're focused mostly on vegetables, so a different vegetable each week. And we're trying to do it when it's in season and people can find that vegetable at their local farmers market and support our local farmers. So the first interview is with a farmer. The second interview is with a chef or a caterer or a food entrepreneur who will tell our audience how to prepare it. So that's actually the biggest drawback for a lot of people shopping at a farmer's market or getting a CSA box from a farmer. Sometimes things come in that box or you see it at the farmer's market and you don't know how to cook it. So why would you buy it? So this is to break down some of those barriers and not only tell people how to deal with it in the kitchen, but to inspire them to try a new vegetable. It's not really that intimidating.
No, I spend a lot of time in the kitchen myself, and I'm grateful for the farmers in our area. They pulled us through COVID and inspired a lot of good things. Let's see. This is a nice liaison between businesses and farmers. Who was the brainchild behind this? I understand you're the producer of this show. Who was the inspiration behind this?
Well, even as a child, I wanted to eat real food. I was lucky to have a stay-at-home mom, and she cooked three meals a day. And we never ate processed food. So I was really spoiled. I had worked in television as a producer of a food show. And so this is not really a new concept to me. It's a lot shorter format in 15 minutes. But I do a lot of volunteer work to help promote local farmers. I really want to see farmers make a living wage. And most of our farmers in our area really struggle. There's usually someone who has to work off the farm to help make ends meet. And so this was just a perfect format for our rural area where we all see farms when we drive around the countryside. And farmers need to make a living wage.
The title is Today's Main Ingredient, and I understand the first episode is about asparagus. Can you give us a sneak peek into the future? Any mushrooms on the menu?
Somebody just emailed me last week about a young man who's growing mushrooms, and I haven't been in touch with him yet, but I will be talking to him. If we get a little bit more funding, we hope to do 26 episodes. But the goal is to try to choose something that is available that week. And so some vegetables are available for long periods during the season. We're getting to record the third episode this week, and it will be about kale and chard. And kale you can plant in the spring, or you can plant late in the summer for fall. And so both of these greens are available for huge parts of the season. Asparagus, sadly, has a very short window. The asparagus one will air when you should still be able to find it local asparagus. The second one we have recorded was with Greg Schwartz and Tanis Kowalczyk from Willow Wisp, and that was about lettuce and salad greens. And Greg gave us a great interview, and Tanis, who's now cooking for the farm crew, gave us her vinaigrette recipes, and we talked about that. So every week, it's something new.
I have tasted Will-O-Wisp's salads and salad dressings. I am aware how delicious they are. And with today's main ingredient, I have to say I look forward to the squash and pumpkin episodes. Some of my favorite foods. Now, you mentioned funding. Let's talk about who's funding.
So we thank the Greater Pike Community Foundation for giving us the seed money to get this pilot series started. We're still looking for some other funders that will take us all the way through, we hope, to Thanksgiving. We will also have sponsors along the way who could help us out for an episode.
I like the idea that it's a 15-minute podcast. It seems very suitable to radio programming. Currently, in the radio world, radio has changed, and it's more about podcastings, which are accessible to our audience. Who will be able to access these podcasts?
So we hope that they will be on radio. Once it's posted on the Seeds website, anybody can access it with any computer. Seeds is building a new website, Seeds of NEPA, which stands for NortheastPennsylvania.org. So SeedsOfNEPA.org. And then other local organizations who work for sustainability issues, we think, will pick up the link and put it on their websites. It'll also be heard on Sunday mornings on the local Honesdale radio stations. And so we hope to reach a really wide audience this way.
Jane, we're sitting here together. It's 2021, and we've just gone through at least 18 months of a pandemic. I personally have become very aware of the insecurities in our food systems. And I know you have a background with agriculture in Wayne County. What are your thoughts about this?
Let's start with the big picture. You may remember when all the big meat processing plants had trouble getting their product out because of COVID. Their workers were devastated in the factories. And suddenly people were turning to local sources for meat. And last year, even in the midst of this pandemic, the local farmers who were selling at the farmers markets found new customers. And so everybody became more aware of the long supply chains that could be broken and disrupted. And those things aren't over yet. How will we be resilient in the future? How will we build sustainability? And my focus has been the food system and building a more secure local food system is, I think, really important for our future. And it will help our economy, too. It's not just there will be food, but it will help local businesses prosper. And restaurants are just now coming back. And there are restaurants in our area that buy from local farmers. So I make an effort to support them.
During the pandemic, people had more time to cook at home. And personally, I feel like I'm more focused on the nutrition side of food. I understand there's someone that's part of this podcast that will help the audience understand some of the nutrition about the food.
That's right. A nutritionist. Her name is Carol Knyer. She's also the community outreach manager at Wayne Memorial Hospital. And she joins us as the last guest for about 2 minutes to tell us about the vitamins and minerals and the properties that are in that week's ingredient. But she'll also make some generalizations about the darker green, the more this vitamin it has in it. And carrots have a different vitamin in it. So she's going to give us an overview and specifics about the healthy nutrition properties of each ingredient that we talk about.
Now, it's true that you're the executive producer of this, but there's actually a narrator or show host that's involved. Tell us who that is.
So some people will recognize the name Mickey Uzeps. For many years, she was a newscaster at the Honesdale radio station, and she is going to be the host and interviewer of the podcast. So she brings great knowledge of radio with her, and she has a great radio voice. She's also, thank goodness, the audio editor, which I could not do, so I am eternally grateful to her for that. She's so enthusiastic about this program, I think people will hear it in her voice.
Food is a great subject to be enthusiastic about, especially when it's locally grown. And chefs are very enthusiastic also. Food brings us together. It connects communities. It connects people.
I wanted to tell you a little bit about the two guests on the first episode, the asparagus episode. So the farmer is Brian Fox, and he's based south of Waymart in Canaan Township. The name of his farm is Salem Mountain Naturals. And growing asparagus is really easy because it's a perennial. You plant it, it does well, it comes back every spring all on its own. The chef in that episode is Ben Cooper from Here and Now Brewing Company in Honesdale. And Ben brings great knowledge from his training and his restaurant experience, and he shares a recipe with us. Every show will have a guest who talks about preparing it in the kitchen and will offer us a recipe. And the recipes also will then be posted on the Seeds website.
I am familiar with several very good restaurants in Honesdale. I hope they all get a chance to be part of the podcast. This podcast, it's about so much goodness. How will these podcasts actually benefit our community?
Well, we hope it will make a difference to home cooks and take that fear factor out of some of the common vegetables, but we'll also take a look at, I don't know if we're going to do Jerusalem artichoke, but I'm betting that most people in the audience don't know what it is or how to cook it. The goal is to work with the home cook and inspire them and take the fear out of trying something new. Anybody can go online and look up, how do I prepare a Jerusalem artichoke? It's one of the joys of the internet that any information you want is at your fingertips. If you see a vegetable at a farmer's market, A, talk to the farmer who grew it because he knows about it and he's happy to talk to you. If you buy it and the farmer isn't there to talk to you, go look it up on the internet if you don't know what to do with it. Go to the Seeds website and look at the recipes that we have collected. And we'll have quite a collection by the end of this series, I believe.
I'm thrilled that this podcast is going to be available to local radio. Is there any aspiration in the future to produce visuals for television, YouTube, or video production?
Not yet. So it's such a new project. Right now we're recording on Zoom. Once everybody can get out and about, the original idea was to have a chef and a farmer sit together over a cup of coffee or something and have it be a different kind of conversation. So these first episodes will be, first we talk to the farmer, then we talk to the foodie person. Over time, as we can do these interviews in person, we will shoot some video then. and they'll become part of what's posted on Seed's website.
Before we close, is there anything else you'd like to tell us? Let's remind the audience when we'll be able to access the podcast and how to do that.
We're launching on May 16th, which is a Sunday. It should be posted the day before. And so people will go to seeds@nepa.org, and there will be a button right there that will send them to today's Made Ingredient webpage. And so that's the easiest for people who want to do it on their own time. And then look for it on radio.
Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. And we sat here at Black and Brass on a springtime day, very moist in northeast Pennsylvania. In the background, we'll hear coffee being served to the audience. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you for inviting me.
For WJFF Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. Hope that you enjoyed our show this week, with production by volunteers Keith Hubbard and Evan Padua. Special thanks goes to our guest, Wayne County community member Jane Bollinger from Seeds of Northeast Pennsylvania, speaking about the podcast series called Today's Made Ingredient. Before we close today's program, here's an important note that I'd like to share with you, and with a bit of effort, we can help protect our environment. Now we are in the presence of spring, and we'll find ourselves outdoors, enjoying a walk, preparing garden beds, or raking up yard debris. Please take some time to learn about the spotted lanternfly, which has become a destructive pest to our Catskill Mountain Delaware Valley region. The spotted lanternfly is a serious invasive pest with a healthy appetite for our plants. It can be a significant nuisance, affecting our quality of life and enjoyment of the outdoors. The spotted lanternfly feeds on the sap from over 70 different plant species, including grapevines, maple trees, black walnut, birch, willow, and other trees, damaging their health and potentially killing them. There are several stages to the life cycle of this pest: the egg stage, nymph cycle, and adults with wings. They change color with each phase of their growth. Please learn how to identify this invasive pest and what action to take to help control the spread of the spotted lanternfly. I encourage you to visit the Penn State Extension website. extension.psu.edu/spottedlanternfly, or you can call their hotline 1-888-422-3359. The Wayne County Library presents via Zoom a program on the spotted lanternfly this Thursday, May 20th, from 4:15 to 5:45 p.m. Master Gardener Diane Diefendurfer will explain the destructive spotted lanternfly and what you can do to help. To register, contact E. Wilson at waynelibraries.org. That's E. Wilson at waynelibraries.org. This has been your host, Rosie Starr. Thanks for listening to Farm and Country on WJFF Radio Catskill. Support for Farm and Country comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, a community-supported, science-based nonprofit, taking legal actions, providing tools for action, and raising awareness of fracking damage since 2008, proactively protecting public health in the Delaware River Basin and beyond. DamascusCitizens.org.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, and this week we are getting stinky with the unsung heroes of the cheese world, the cheesemongers. We'll learn about a wild competition designed to crown the best cheesemonger in the land. We'll learn how to identify cheeses by taste and smell.